Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's RJ Bell, pregame.com, our Saturday morning podcast. The Herd's Blazing Five went 4-1 this week, so let's roll it.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Ravens at Chiefs.
I'm betting the number here. I'm going to take the favored Kansas City Chiefs -5. Now, Baltimore's offensive line and running game is good enough in this game to control the clock and win. It is. But I like the number here. I get the best offense. I not only get the most creative play designer, Andy Reid, but Andy Reid came into this year 7-0 against the spread in his last seven September games. He's 2-0 against the spread in these two September games. Kansas City leads, or close to it, in virtually every offensive category. And I will say this. Lamar Jackson in that running game, you know what they're going to do. They want to eat the clock, and they want to run, and they're good enough to do it. But the number is only 5, and I think Arrowhead is a tough place to play. 30-23 Chiefs win and cover. It'll be a fun game to watch.
Lions at Eagles.
I'm going to take Detroit +6 in a potential upset here. Philadelphia had to cancel practice this week. The timing was not good against Atlanta. You've had a lot of on third down. You've had DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey. Three of their targets are hurt offensively. They've also had some defensive injuries. I think this is a talented Philadelphia team that right now is playing a Detroit team that has covered 4 of their last 6 games. We kind of look at the Lions as a mess. But when they lose, they've been losing close. They won close last weekend. I'm going to take the 6 points here. I think it's actually an upset alert. I'll take Philly to win 27-23. But Philadelphia is banged up, and I think their timing is off due to the rash of injuries, both in-game and practice, closer than you think.
Giants at Bucks.
I like the Giants getting the points +6, and I like an outright win for the Giants. First of all, Daniel Jones, I believe, is going to give this team a little energy boost. I think the team had gotten very stale. And if you looked at Daniel in the preseason, he was absolutely terrific. Now, the Giants are 0-2, but they have put up 420 total yards per game. They're moving the ball. This is not an offense bereft of talent. The Buccaneers, meanwhile, are adrift. They've scored 20 or fewer points in 5 of their last 6 games, and they're one of 4 teams, is Tampa, to have 300-plus total yards in the game this season. Yet to have it. So they haven't really popped yet. And that's with really good offensive players and Bruce Arians. I'm going to take the Giants with an upset little energy. Daniel Jones, 24-23.
Steelers at Niners.
This is another go-either-way game. Pittsburgh's getting 6.5 points. That is way too many. The 49ers are incredibly young, which means they looked great last week. They could come crashing down. They don't have their left tackle. Again, I like San Francisco, but they are young. And by the way, Pittsburgh without Big Ben, they're 10-6. The last 16 games he hasn't played. That's a playoff team. Charlie Batch had a winning record. Dennis Dixon, Landry Jones, Michael Vick had a winning record. They play without Ben, and they have 10 wins in 16 games. It's also a must-win for them. I think it's 27-26. It's a go-either-way game. I'll take the Niners to win by a point. Way, way too many points to give the significantly better offensive line and the better, more desperate roster at this point. I'll take the points with Pittsburgh.
Rams at Browns.
Now, initially this week, I said Cleveland's going to really be testy. Here's a problem. Like Philadelphia, the Browns have a cluster of injuries in the secondary. Denzel Ward's beat up. They have had multiple players. Their did-not-practice list this week looked like the third floor of a hospital. Now, Baker has been sacked 8 times. The weakness of this team is the offensive line. The Rams' Aaron Donald, yet to get a sack, going to be spicy. The Browns have the most penalties and penalty yards. Why wouldn't they? Youngest roster in the league. And Baker Mayfield's been great against Cincinnati. But beyond that, with that porous offensive line, he's a 5-8 quarterback who has 22 touchdowns and 18 picks. I think I also get a coaching mismatch. Sean McVay may be the best young coach. I don't think any of us know if Freddie Kitchens is even a good coach. I don't know that. He may be. It doesn't look like it. I'm going to take the Rams to win and cover 33-24. So again, I'm going to take the favored Kansas City Chiefs at home in a game. Watch out. Baltimore's going to try to eat the clock and run it. I'll then take the underdog Lions. I'll take the underdog Giants, the underdog Steelers, and the favored L.A. Rams.
All right, R.J. Bell now joining us. Good week last week, back-to-back winning weeks, but let's not get greedy. This stuff is tough. I'm going to start with this game because I think it's the most fun. The line now is down to, you know, where it's under a touchdown, Ravens at the Chiefs. I'm going to take Kansas City to cover. The line now is 6 or less, and my reasoning is this. Teams, the Chargers, that got a second look at Lamar Jackson, they did very well. This is the second time the Chiefs will get a look at him. And I do think there is some smoke and mirrors and a little over-evaluation early of Lamar. So I'm going to take the Chiefs minus whatever the number is, 6.5, 6, 5.5. What do the wise guys say?
Disagreement here. You make a great point, though, but I think it actually goes against you. All and right. Here's the point I'm hearing, Colin. You're saying, okay, if you get familiar with Baltimore and Lamar, his limitations will become prevalent and very problematic for Baltimore.
Yes.
Agreed. But what Baltimore team are we really going to see offensively? For example, the first two games of the year against the Dolphins, 20 more rushes than passes. Against the Cardinals, 4 more passes than rushes. That disparate range of, you know, from minus 20 to plus 4 when it comes to number of passes, how often do you see that? Rarely. And those were the two worst teams in the NFL, at least perceived by Vegas, entering the season. So Baltimore got to show whatever they wanted to some degree. Kansas City is familiar with last year's team. Oh, by the way, Lamar started on a bye week, so really no time to really get that team ready with an offense that was known to be a rushing, you know, Lamar-driven offense. Now the whole offseason, I thought Baltimore and Harbaugh would show up with a lot of quirks, a lot of little wrinkles the other teams weren't ready for. I'm not sure they had to show much of that. The first two games were easy. I wonder if Andy Reid has any idea what the Ravens are going to do offensively. They could come out and set they haven't had the entire ever, right? Because if you have two easy games early, I know no NFL game is fully easy, but if you have fairly easy games, don't you think that entire offseason Harbaugh had some real, real wrinkles waiting for Kansas City in game 3? To me, that's the biggest factor in this game. Last thing, I would acknowledge this. Andy Reid, and you've talked about it, starts fast because he does the same thing in the offseason.
Yes, he's a play designer. He unveils several layers in the first 4 to 5 weeks. He cools down, but he's got magic tricks in September.
Yeah, last thing is his first 7 games last year, 0 losses against the spread. This year, first 2 games, 0 losses against the spread for KC. So that's good for you, but I think the wrinkles of Harbaugh will be greater than Andy Reid, so we like Baltimore.
I like dogs this week. Now, last week I took a lot of favorites, which I usually don't do. I'm going to take Detroit plus the points up to 7 against the Eagles. Philadelphia's got wide receiver health issues and defensive back health issues. That's limited practice. We don't know who will play. They canceled a practice this week. I think Detroit's, they can be, like last year, they have their moments. I don't think they're necessarily poorly coached. I don't know if they win, but I'm going to take a touchdown with a banged up Philadelphia team that's defensive line has not been as good as we thought. What do the wise guys think?
So you're a fan of the laminated paper and the pencil. I mean, that's one of the greats. Let's be honest there. Agreement with the Lions. This is more against the Eagles currently. I think the Eagles could be the third best team in the league. And it is interesting to think, not to get us off topic, who is the best team in the NFC right now? Is it the Rams?
Oh boy, they've been spotty. I don't think there is a best team in the NFC. I really don't. I think San Francisco's the most fun to watch. Ooh. I think their offense is really clever, but I don't think there is a great team
Not in the NFC.
Right now, you can bet the AFC versus the NFC, right? Generically, lines like 4.5 AFC, which is gigantic this time. I mean, this is very rare. So, against the Eagles here, and here's why. They're banged up. I mean, we talk about it at least once a month on this pod, cluster injuries. When you have multiple injuries in the same position group, it's so problematic because you can compensate for a left tackle being out. You put the tight end over there. But if the left tackle and right tackle's out, what do you do then? Right? And the Eagles, in a way, have that on their defensive side of the ball. And remember, with Schwartz's defenses, Eagles DC, they need pressure from up front because they usually are weak with the D-backs, right? In a salary cap league, you've got to have weakness somewhere. The question is, can you compensate for it with your scheme? The Eagles tend to do that by compensating with a great defensive line rush. But Malik Jackson, their big offseason signing, lost for the season. Others who are supposed to play well haven't, and you're hearing it's injuries, Fletcher Cotch, et cetera, when it comes to the idea of how well are they playing now versus potentially later in the year when they are healthy. So I'm not writing off the Eagles. I just think right now they're banged up in a way that's hard to overcome. And whatever you want to say about Matt Patricia, he does seem to coach better with momentum, and the Lions have started the season better than expected, though obviously that first push or tie, for me a tie is a push in Vegas, but that tie wasn't great. But beating the Chargers, I think being 1-0-1 is probably exceeded expectations, which is a good thing for a coach on a hot seat. Agreement, Lions plus the touchdown.
Giants plus 6.5, I'll take them at Tampa Bay. My reason is this. Daniel Jones, I don't think the offensive personnel is bad. I think Pat Shurmur is a very smart offensive coach. And I think when you bring in Daniel Jones off a very interesting preseason, I think there's going to be in the vibe in the locker room that's very positive. I kind of feel like there's this tension that is now gone from New York. And it's, all right, we've got our young guy, let's go. So I'm going to take the points against the Tampa team, which is always hard to get your arms around. They make a lot of mistakes, but they have a lot of talent. Giants plus 6.5. What do the wise guys think?
Man, this is a painful agreement because I really, you know, I'll be honest, probably the most influential fact I have about the Giants came from your show, Greg Cosell, who was on our Fox show all of last season. And I'll be candid, I couldn't get much out of him. Meaning, here's a guy that was 40 years in the business, knows more about film than I've, or has forgotten more than I'll ever know. But he's a political guy, meaning he doesn't want to say bad things. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, Greg doesn't want to hammer people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what did he say on your show about the Giants' D against the Cowboys? He said it was the worst effort he had seen in 40 years. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, here's a guy that doesn't like to be hot takey that was going, you know, extreme. So he must believe it beyond belief, right? So to me, there's something with that Giants team that really worries me because of that. Let me ask you this question. Why make this change not on a bye week and additionally on a road game when you have less time to prep? The quarterback change.
I honestly think they gave the coaching staff knew they were going to give Eli two games, and they wanted to give Daniel Jones a very winnable game. And I think the Giants coaches made this knowing we did not match up with Dallas. You know, Buffalo's defense is good. I think they think this is an incredibly winnable game. Tampa Bay didn't have a Pro Bowler on defense last year. This is a nice start.
Yeah, but on the road against Tampa is tougher than at home against the Bills, right? I mean, if you just look at the line. So to me, this seems weird. There's a lot of questions about the Giants I don't fully understand. The heat could get up to 90 degrees the high on game day. I don't get a sense the Giants are particularly in great shape. You know, they don't look like an intense team. So I can't lay points with the Bucs. So you are getting an agreement. One last thing. We actually believe Daniel Jones is a downgrade early, meaning first couple games when he's acclimating himself, probably a downgrade. But we think the Giants team will likely be energized by the change. So we think net-net is probably a slight positive putting Jones in, even though he might underperform a little bit early at quarterback. And if you underperform Eli, that's not so good. Again, painful, but a slight agreement on your Giants pick.
Steelers plus 6.5 at the Niners. I think that's too many points. I think San Francisco, not that they've been fool's gold, but they're now Pro Bowl level left tackle is out. Garoppolo is still not proven to me to be able to throw the ball downfield into tight windows. They fooled Cincinnati schematically on a lot of plays. I don't think they will with Pittsburgh. I think this is the Steelers season, and I'm going to take the veteran head coach, what I think is the better top-to-bottom personnel defensively, the better offensive line, and what, 6.5 points? I'm going to go with Pittsburgh here. What do the wise guys think?
Well, this is my biggest agreement of the week. I love this game, and it's Pittsburgh. And I'll tell you this, I'm a Steelers fan. I watch Pittsburgh very closely. A lot of people are going to say, RJ, you got to make sure not to have your emotions involved. Hey, if you can stay objective, being a fan is a massive advantage. Why? Because you know the team so well. You're watching the preseason games. You're watching the press conferences. If you can remain objective. And to me, this is what I know about Tomlin. If you go back from his first year, 2007 to 2012, all right, so that was seven seasons. He was 7-0 straight up with his team entering the game with a losing record. So think about it. Anytime, if they're 0-1, you know, 1-2, whatever. Only seven times in 7 years. One, how good was those teams, right? But he had never lost a single game. Now, his whole career, he's been over 70% entering games with a losing record. The rest of the league during that time, 41%. So Tomlin, whatever pros and cons you want to say about him, motivates a team when they're down. He does that in an excellent fashion. Now, what is the biggest factor in this game, though? The Steelers told us how optimistic they are about this season by trading a first-round pick next year. If I had to ask you, Colin, how many wins will Pittsburgh have this year? Now, they're 0-2, obviously. What's your over-under for them wins this season?
Right now, 8.
All right, that's optimistic. So you're saying they're going to be two games above 500 from here?
Yes.
All right. Even then, do you think the Steelers would trade the number 16 pick, which is what you'd expect from an 8-8 team, for the D-back that they got in that trade where they gave away their number one pick?
Well, I believe they think they can win the division still.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They are telling us that that pick isn't going to be that valuable. And remember, this Rudolph quarterback, they chose him. You know, there was a real battle for number two. They not only picked him, but as time went on, they had Dobbs in there, and they traded Dobbs away because they really like Rudolph. So what I would say is this. I think Rudolph is going to exceed expectations greatly. Pittsburgh's optimistic. Tomlin does exceptionally well in these spots where a team seems like they could give up. Steelers, best bet of the week.
Rams minus 2.5 or 3 at Cleveland. Now, this is the biggest game for Cleveland in maybe 20 years, Sunday Night Football. Sean McVay of the Rams is an excellent road coach. I'm not sure Freddie Kitchens is even a good head coach. Cleveland's offensive line is the team's weak spot against Aaron Donald. I think it's problematic. And Cleveland has had major injury cluster concerns in their secondary this week. Hamstrings, Denzel Ward, I think it's Greedy Williams. I initially like Cleveland. The more I dig, I'll swallow a field goal. I'll go Rams. What do the wise guys think?
Oh, I tell you, this is another painful one. I was lucky last week. I actually vetoed. Remember, the wise guys had the Steelers, and I vetoed it. This week, I'm going to veto the wise guys again because the line this is one of those you take the home dog at home,
right,
kind of wise guy plays. Line's going up. So I'm going to go with the Rams and give you agreement here, and it's painful. because I really hate road favorites.
No, I get it.
And also, let's be candid. I'm going to give you some real credit here. people always say, RJ, how's Colin win that much? I go, the guy knows football. He lived in Vegas, so he kind of understands what not to do sometimes.
Yeah, I'm better at not. I know the landmines more than I know the right stuff, but I'm good at avoiding the landmines.
Yeah, and let's be candid. This is like our eighth year doing this. Right. I've beat you up on so many road favorites. You finally say enough. So, again, I never give you any picks beforehand, so this is all you. But this is one of those things you got to wonder, what do we really know about the Rams? Meaning, they played so far against Cam Newton, which, let's be candid, if we find out that he's got some injury that he's going to have to sit for the whole year now, would we be that shocked?
Yeah, I mean, Carolina at home opener's usually a pretty good bet.
But not if you have a quarterback that isn't even, you know, as good as a backup because he's injured.
Yeah, and Drew Brees next week got injured.
And again, one quarter with a limited Brees, it felt like, and then against Bridgewater. And again, just a quick little, focusing on this Rams game is, to me, I think Kitchens is the type that could very well get out-coached by McVay. But on the other hand, if motivation is the issue, and that's what I think you've really identified with the Browns, this is going to be like a new age team. This is almost like a millennial team because you've got a coach who isn't going to resist it. It's almost like the inmates are running the asylum or whatever. Nothing about anything except the youth and the players making the decisions instead of the coach who is supposed to be the senior person. Kitchen seems to defer to the players.
Yes.
And to me, that probably doesn't hurt them as much in a game in which they're clearly motivated, like a big TV game. I think when they're a 4 or 5 point favorite on the road in a game that they're not on TV as much might be the Browns' difficult time. So to me, I think ultimately it's Kitchens not being able to handle McVay is what leads me to flip over to you and the Rams.
Finally, bonus pick just for our podcast, Saints +5.5 at the Seahawks. Seahawks have a couple of wins by 3 points combined. Again, it's a number here. Bridgewater's capable. Taysom Hill in packages is clever. Sean Payton, I think their defense is actually really good. It gave the Rams a lot of problems, except two deep balls, one to Brandon Cooks, and then a broken tackle. Cooper Kupp went down the field. It gave the Rams a lot of problems. I'll take the Saints +5.5. Bonus pick. I'm not going to do it other than this podcast. What would the wise guy say?
Yeah, so I personally go with disagreement here.
Okay.
And it's against Bridgewater. And this is pretty amazing. We dug deep here. It was a little painful for me because last year we were in, you might recall, the Super Contest Gold. It's $5,000 to get in. And we were tied for the lead with 2 weeks to go. It was like a $640,000 prize. And one of our picks the last week of the year was the Saints and Bridgewater. Our thinking was, you know, they got Bridgewater as kind of the starting QB in waiting. And now they got a game where they had their seed locked. They were really going to focus on giving Bridgewater a whole game to really do his thing. And he was horrendous in that last game. 14 of 22, 118 yards. Think about that. Week 17, they lost to the Panthers. And they were at home in that game. So it's one game. Maybe you're not so worried. This offseason, the Dolphins wanted Bridgewater to be a starter. He said no. Now, why? You know, is that a sign that he knows he's going to start with the Saints? Maybe. Or maybe it's a sign he's still not really back from the injury and would rather be a backup. Because if you look at him in the preseason, very pedestrian. Only averaged less than 6 yards per attempt. So he wasn't thrown downfield at all. In mop-up duty in the game when Brees got hurt, 17 of 30, 165, and again, yards per attempt less than 6. So his QBR was 11, 11 out of 100. Mm. So we haven't seen anything from Bridgewater that's good for over almost 2 years now. And he had one good preseason for the Jets, remember. After that, since his injury, nothing. And why all of a sudden is the coach of the Saints saying, oh, maybe we're going to use this package and that package? Why would you want to distract Bridgewater? I think it's a cue from the Saints and Sean Payton saying, I'm not that confident in Bridgewater. And this line, Seattle only being favored by 5.5 at home. Seattle's a great home team. It's saying the market has a lot of faith in Bridgewater and the Saints. That's why the line is so low. I don't share it. I don't like the Saints.
RJ Bell, Saturday, Blazing 5, podcast at RJ in Vegas, pregame.com. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.